Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's 7 o'clock, it's Monday, and that means Radio Newark Sport's back on your wireless. Tony, play the music. And despite all my pre-planning, everything changed on Friday night with the devastating fire and the sad end to the much-loved Grove Sports Centre. Martin Picker worked there for 25 years and he's here to do a bit of reminiscing tonight. And he's brought some friends. How good is that? Craig Roach, Rob Wardman and Paul Halfpenny. All updaters on events at Lowfields, Kelham Road and the Magnus. If we get time, we'll look back at the FA Cup, round up all the local and the national stories, because Tony wants to know who is following to Wembley. And it's changed. It's changed. It's not Shep Shed anymore. I'm Mick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And this is Radio Newark Sport. And it was another massive weekend of sport, and we will get to that, but it started with what turned out to be a rather eventful Friday night. Tony, first question to you. A disused old building or a much-loved icon of Newark Sport?
The latter, definitely. It was a place that everybody knew and everybody loved, and everybody's got a story about it. And that was the tragic thing about Friday night. I was actually at Calverton Miners Welfare in the Newark Flowserve dugout, and somebody said, "The sports centre's burning down in Newark." I said, "Which one?" And they said, "Well, there's only one." And I thought, oh my God, you know, that's new, fantastic state of art building, you must be joking. But then, as ever with social media, the videos were very quickly on people's phones, and it was the Grove, and you just feel sadness. You know, I mean, if it was a new one, you would feel horrific because of the facilities it offers. But it wasn't a disused old building. It was a place very close to the hearts of every Newarker.
So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to sort of remember the Grove Sports Centre, because you can call it what fandangled name you like. It was the Grove Sports Centre. One thing, we've got that sorted out right at the beginning. It was the Grove Sports Centre. So that's where we are. But first of all, let's have a look at some of the other headlines that made the local news this weekend. Well, that's the theory we should have done, but nothing seems to have happened. Oh, well, never mind. Let's do it without the music, shall we? Newark Athletic Clubs of Living the Fires finished 6th in the latest round of the World Elite Junior Triathlon Series held in Rotterdam over the weekend. Nothing's working now. Oh, dear. She was the second Brit home, with Katie Waugh claiming the silver medal in the event. The Newark Flowserve Roadshow marches on with big wins for both the work sides at the weekend, and Craig Roach will tell us all about that a little bit later. Not such good news though for Newark Town, as they went down by the odd goal in 5 at Station Road to Dronfield, and that's 1-6 now for the Blues. And a second half comeback took Newark Rugby Club into extra time. What happens next? We'll leave that one to Rob to tell you. Okay, Martin. Martin Picker is here. He's worked at the Sports Centre for 25 years. He was listening to the events unfolding on Saturday night. Martin, your thoughts?
Well, I think on Friday night I was pretty much shocked at the first indication there was a fire. My phone, I sent to the Alexis, who's with us today, and Katrina. I must have had 40-odd messages on that Friday night from various people. And then I decided to go on Facebook and look at Newark Radio, and then I could see the images. And to be honest, yes, the building itself, it's derelict, it's not used anymore, it's ready for demolition. But actually, when you see it in reality and see the flames there, you start to think about all the different things that have happened there, and the amount of users have gone through that building. And you're talking, it's something like 700,000 people going through that every year. It was built in 1968. I joined it in 1989, seems a number of years ago now. And the management that started roughly at the beginning was the management that took me on when I first started the role there. So to see it with the flames going up, instantly was trying to work out which part of the building it started in, whereabouts was the fire, was this going to be the you know, is this it? And then suddenly on the radio, another flood of flames, and you're thinking, crikey me, you know, this is the end of it. And, you know, it was a shock to the system. But it was amazing how people paid their thoughts on radio about what they thought about the building and how well it was used. They've been to various activities. And I think all of us have been there. I'd been there as a child myself. And, you know, that was a massive bit of news for the community. And we knew that by the amount of people that was following Newark Radio that evening. And it was fantastic for people to actually see it, not from a positive side, to be part of it and talk it through on the night.
I think we all knew it was going to be demolished. It was just when it was going to be demolished. And we knew that was going to be the end of it. I mean, it wasn't the prettiest of building. It was two square boxes. But I said on the night, and I stick by it, if you're of a certain age, in other words, anybody sort of under 50, your children have been in that sports centre at some stage. If you lived in Newark, Bolton, Coddington, Farndon, you have been in that sports centre. I think you'd be very lucky to find out somebody who's never been in it. Probably Tony's never been in it, but...
Oh, no, not at all. I was a member of the gym.
Was you?
Yeah, a while ago, yeah.
Crikey.
Obviously not recently.
But so in everybody's lives in Newark, or 90% of people's lives in Newark, that sports centre has been involved in their lives. And I think whereas we knew, yes, it was going to be demolished, the new one's there, absolutely fantastic, that's life, you know, we move on. We didn't... Can a building die? If a building can die, we didn't want it to die that way.
I think if the building had been left in the state it was, and then had been demolished, people would just go, "Ah, well, life moves on." But the way it went, it burns itself into all our hearts, and I think it'll be looked upon far more nostalgically because of the way we lost it, rather than if it had just gone through the simple demolition process.
Also with us tonight, we've got Katrina. Now, Katrina worked as a receptionist, so she would have told you off when you tried to sneak past without paying on numerous occasions.
I thought I recognised her.
And we've got someone who I can just call the boss. It's as simple as that. Alexis Knock is here, and of course, Alexis, it has been your life, hasn't it? Because... One, at the Grove, it was your sports facilities when you was a youngster, and then it turned into your work. So it is embedded in you, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I remember when I was at secondary school at the Grove, all those PE lessons with dear old Mrs. Smith in the sports hall, and obviously outside on the all-weather pitch where the new school is built. But... Those days playing sport in my in secondary years, if they weren't so positive, I wouldn't be doing the job I'm doing today. So it definitely shaped where I am now. And then obviously that turned into a job, earn a bit of extra cash, doing the lifeguarding, working weekends and evenings and earning the money. And that's where it all started. Doing children's activities, which was quite a lot of fun on a Saturday morning. Everybody remembers junior activities. And it kind of went on from there. So I think a lot of people, whether they played sport there, they went to watch. I mean, if you think about the swimming club and how many children have gone through the swimming club, all the galas they used to hold there and how many people that brought in on a Saturday night. There are a lot of people within Newark, as well as outside of Newark, that are no longer in Newark, that have got very fond memories of that building.
It seemed to keep coming back on Friday night to the Roll the Discos.
We just said
everything
that,
I said remember. Went back to the Roll the Discos.
I remember the Roll the Discos, Saturday nights. Well, Saturday afternoon, about between 4 and 6, wasn't it, Martin?
Yeah.
Must have been.
We've got lots of stories.
You've got lots of us, and we're going to talk about this story, because I'm making absolute no apologies tonight. We are going to reminisce. If I ever get these jingles to work, we might even do it in order. So,
the good news about the stuff that's working is Friday's weather is really good, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We've just said it. Katrina, we have joked about the reception, but of course you would meet hundreds of people, and it's very missing because it's your first time in here, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Your first time in the TalkSport Radio Newark Sport Towers here.
It's really small.
Yes. Compact.
It looks a lot bigger on the radio.
And it's the same colour as the reception used to be at the Grove Leisure Centre as well, in orange.
Where did we get it from? If you're used to working in a rabbit hutch, you're going well in here. How long was your sports centre?
I started in 2008, and then obviously I moved over to the new site in 2016, and it was a tired old building, but it was meant doing men there, really. I don't think anything really worked properly, but that was part of its charm.
A bit like an ear.
Yeah.
It's just tired old presenters in here.
No, saying to the guys on the way over here that, you know, I think every year they decided to paint the corridors a different garish colour, or the floors a different. I think if they measured the corridors from when it was built to what it was when we left, there must have been an inch smaller because of all the layers of paint that they used to put on it. And, you know, it was... it's really upsetting. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. I used to go every Saturday for junior activities. And then when I started working there in 2008, I was surprised to see some of the members of staff still there, like Bill, who used to absolutely scare me to death. And, you know, it was my childhood. Every Saturday, we used to get packed off down to the Grove Leisure Centre for swimming, junior activities, and then, you know, I got a job there, and, you know, the rest is history, really.
Yeah, it didn't have a lot going for it at the end, but it was owls.
Yeah, and it used to rain, we used to get as many chlorine buckets, mop buckets, whatever we could lay our hands on, just to protect the floor, really. I remember walking down the corridor that ran along the sports hall one day, and I think every 50 centimetres was a new bucket, where it was just leaking and leaking and leaking.
But customers didn't notice that. We were very good at hiding
that. An intervention there by next.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, we're not used to great and grand sports facilities in Newark. I mean, that new sports centre, you feel you've got to wipe your feet when you walk in it. You know, we're not used to that, which is probably why we loved it so much. So you've all got some stories to tell me. I'm going to try and press a button now to see if I can do this FA Cup thing, and then that gets out of the way. If it doesn't, I'll be back in a second. Hey. This time it worked, so we'll have a quick look at the FA Cup. My team, Newcastle Benfield, beat Ashton by 2-1, so they go forward. Tony was following Shepshed. They lost 1-0 to Nantwich Town. So, Tony, you now go into Cheshire, I think, supporting your football team. As you all know, we're following this to Wembley. Whoever wins, we follow until we get to Derby, and then the whole thing is knocked on the head because I refuse point blank to support Derby. Grantham Town lost 4-3 to Alvechurch in a shock, because they're at least one division higher. Basford and Gainsborough Trinity are both still in. They win. AFC Mansfield face a replay after a draw. And Salford City, in the big game of the day, were beaten 2-1 by York City.
Was it?
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Two, three more quick ones, because I've made some notes, and if I took the time out to make some notes, I'm going to say them. Newcastle Benfield scorer was 40-year-old Paul Brayson, scoring his 12th goal of the season. Basford have reached the third qualifying round for the first time ever, and playing for them was Kieran Wells.
Right.
Ex-RHP player in his time.
Yeah.
Certainly a Southall City player.
Yeah.
Reece Lewis scored for Grantham Town. Scant consolation. And the man that put your team out of the competition was Steve Jones. He scored Nantwich's Town winner. And in the shocks of the round, Northern League side Shildon beat Altrincham. Of course, they've big name in sport. Mm. South Shields won at Darlington. Shaw Lane won at Blyth Spartans. Poultan won at Salisbury. And Handsworth from the North Eastern Counties League drew with FC United of Manchester.
Did they?
So there you go. That's, we're just playing this little FA Cup game, that we decided right at the beginning. Tony went for the team that was local to Newark, and that was Renouf. And I went for a team that was local to the grandchildren, and that was Whitley Bay. So we're just fathering whoever they get and trying to find out a little bit about them and doing that. But as ever, events take over everything that's planned, and it doesn't quite work out like that.
I'm very disappointed about Grantham Town because I spent Friday evening on the touchline with Potsy, who was very much looking forward to the game against Alverchurch. And I think quite a lot of the lads, because we played on Friday night at Flowserve, they were going along to support the Newark lads and Grantham Town. And I would certainly have been with them if I didn't have my own Saturday arrangements. So that was a very disappointing result, I think.
I think 4-3 at home against a team in the lower division was not the result that was wanted, especially when it was $4,500 to the winners of those matches. Mm. You know, even at Grantham standard, $4,500 is, yeah, you know, is worth having, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Right, still to come, we've got Craig Roach talking about the Flowserve revolution, and we've got Rob Wardman talking about a better day for Newark Rugby Club. Very quickly, Alexis, you've moved from the old to the new. A lot of people, and I think it was the head rather than the heart or whatever on Friday night, was saying they preferred the old one, but the new one's a fantastic building.
It is, and just thinking about the people that have walked through the doors at the Grove and how many people have stuck with us and are still using us on a regular basis, as well as more new clubs. So we've still got the swimming club there, we've still got Balderton Badminton Club, we've still got the squash club who are going from strength to strength. We've got some new clubs that are now based and using our facilities. Fernwood Fencing Club, Sword Club, sorry, proper name, which is really, really nice.
You'll be in trouble.
I know. the Sword Club. So it's really nice to have some different sports because fencing is quite a unique sport.
Wonderful.
And thriving in Newark, which
we have one of the top clubs in the country.
And so we're really pleased to be hosting them and they're using us on a Tuesday night, I think it is, for training facilities. But lots of new people coming through the door as well. And I don't know whether everybody knows this, but I'm hoping customers will have noticed this, but we've painted the corridors twice already in the last 18 months.
You see, Katrina, they started.
It's all white, though. It's all white. It's all white. But that just shows that we're investing it and might want to keep it fresh and looking nice for as long as possible. But it's also a testament to the amount of people that are coming through the door that we are needing to decorate on a regular basis to keep it nice.
That's why they had to decorate at the Grove, but they found a different pot of paint.
Yeah, orange, purple, green.
Coming up very shortly, we've got Craig Roach, and then these three are coming back when we sort of, each of them's going to tell me a story of the Grove Sports Centre and the dramatic and ending that nobody wanted for it on Friday night. But each of them's going to tell me their story of the Grove Sports. And you see them now, they're thinking, it's like being at school. And at 7:20 every Monday night throughout the football season, we catch up on what's happening at Lowfields. And so far, what's happening in Lowfields is absolutely wonderful. Craig Roach joins us. Craig, good evening.
Good evening, Mick.
Craig, before we talk Flowserve and another two victories at the weekend, you're a Newark lad. The Grove Sports Centre, I would say for certainty, you've been there more than a time or two.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. Spent many a day in there as a young lad. Every Saturday morning you could see junior activities there. And on to Rainbow Hands after. And, like I say, it was the only facility we had, so I think everybody grew up, anyone who played sports grew up playing them there.
A sad ending. Tony's already said that you sort of, you was all out at Calverton and you'd got sort of Facebook and everything else going off. I think, was you remaining 100% focused on the match, or was half of it sort of looking at the telephone?
Yeah, I couldn't help but have a look at the, you know, someone put a live video on, couldn't help but to lean over and have a look. I'd say it was quite shocking to hear that it was on fire, and yeah, it's sad.
It's
a sad way for the building to end.
It's a sad end. It's a sad end to go. And we're going to reminisce a bit more later on tonight. Craig, seventh straight league victory. I watched the first half before I come back to what was happening in Newark.
Yes.
It wasn't the best of first halves, but I've never seen a start of a football match quite like that one. Kick off, punt forward into the penalty area, penalty. Probably about 10 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, I know. It was a great start. Like you say, after that it was a bit of a struggle for us. First half, there was a strong, well organised side, and they never really let us get into any fluency in the game. But it's going to be like that from time to time. You know, there are some good players. The league table lies a little bit for their standard. I thought there was a good side.
The Nottingham teams will know the Nottingham lads, and people look at the table now and see where you are. So the Notts. Yeah. They're going to shut up shop a little bit about it. Is it possible for a quicker penalty? I don't think so. I thought the referee was brave to give it, because a lot of referees, for some reason, think a foul in the first 10 minutes is not the same as a foul afterwards.
True, yeah, it does happen like that. I say it was a penalty in my eyes. Darrell skipped round him, lost him totally, and I think it was fair. Like I say, unless it was a stone wall, I think he probably wouldn't give it. A lot of referees probably wouldn't, like you say, with it being so early. It's a big decision to make. First time he blew his whistle. we'll take that.
3-0. Tony tells me the second half, the performance was a lot better than the first half, but it was a clean sheet. It was another 3 points.
That's right. Yeah, the second half was a lot better. We had a few words with each other at half time after that performance at the first half, and the lads responded again and dug deep and eventually got what they deserved. It was by far the better side in the second half. And missed a lot of, even in the first half, really, with a poor performance, we still missed 3 or 4 sitters. Could have walked in at half time 3 or 4 and looked playing poorly again. So, we'll keep grinding out results and tough games away on a Friday night. And, you know, they're important come the end of the season.
They most certainly are. And the reserves won on Sunday with their predominantly youth and Mr. Purvis.
Yes, got a good little mixture in there. You know, got Selfie up front and Alex Bosworth at the back. So Danny's getting itchy feet now and wants to start playing as much as he can as possible. So
I highlighted the first half. He skinned, absolutely skinned the fullback. He just left him. Go on, Danny, shoot. The goal is there. He did the training manual one. He squared it.
Yeah, he's told me a few times about that.
I bet he has.
I don't mind blowing his own trumpet.
You said that, I didn't.
It
was a good win, wasn't it? So the confidence is there, isn't it?
Yeah, like I say, there's some great young lads there, and with a mixture of a few older heads in there to give them a bit more experience, it's really doing great for the club. They're ambitious, same as we are. They're second. The side at the top of their league's got a 100% record like we have. So I think they've got a 4-point gap then between the team that's third. So they're looking strong as well. So
right, your chairman who came into these studios a few weeks ago, and I have got it recorded, Craig, that he promised what he promised. So we'll play that one back later. Your chairman is also a big fan of Port Vale. In fact, I'm even told he's sort of part of the hierarchy at Port Vale. Port Vale sacked their manager on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Has he approached you and Steve Kirkham yet?
He's got a conflict of interest there. no, he hasn't.
So there's no chance that this time next week I'm going to be talking to the joint manager of Port Vale Football Club.
There's a chance, because if you ask me, I'll probably say yes.
Now, where's all this loyalty you're saying to Flowserve? No, but I mean, joking apart, Craig, three league managers lost their jobs at the weekend, and we're not even halfway through September.
The
one I want to talk to you about very quickly is the Crystal Palace. They bring a man in to change the style of play, and in four games they sack him and go for a 70-year-old. I can't understand it, mate.
No, it's the thing is, though, at that level of football now, there's so much money involved. You know, they go out and they spend all this money, and then four games in, they've got the worst start to a league season in 70-odd years or something like that, and it's difficult. You know, chairman sat there watching it, and all the fans are getting on their backs, and kind of get pressured into it. You know, they need to make a change before it's too late.
It makes sense. Who have you got this Saturday?
Back at home this Saturday, we've got Wollaton, so for a test again. You know, that's always, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's always going to be a test.
So, yeah, looking forward to that.
So, 3 o'clock kick-off at Lowfields this Saturday?
3 o'clock this Saturday at home at Lowfields, yeah.
Get yourself down there, see what we can do. Craig, as ever, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mick.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Craig Roach, the joint manager at the Newark Flow Surf Club, that's played 7 and won 7. We're now going to try and find Rob Wardman, and he can tell you how the rugby club's getting on. But before then, 3 stories that you may have missed from the weekend.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Saracens inflicted the first defeat of the season on Newcastle as they claim victory in the second Avivia Premiership match to be staged in the United States. Chris Wilde scored in his homeland while Owen Farrell kicked 5 penalties before a penalty try to complete the win. The game was played in front of banks of empty seats at the 18,500 capacity Callan Energy Stadium in Philadelphia. Is it worth it? And all the Newcastle fans missed out on one of the biggest games of rugby for the season. Not happy. Nicola Adams' fight against Alexander Valdez in Los Angeles was called off after a problem with her opponent's pre-fight blood test. And I'm absolutely positive Andrew Lowe and the gang will have something to say on that come Wednesday night. Harry Redknapp says there's every chance his managerial career is over after he was sacked by Birmingham. The 70-year-old former Bournemouth, West Ham, Portsmouth, Southampton, Tottenham and QPR manager left the Blues after 13 matches as managers, one place off the bottom of the Championship and 6 successive defeats. I doubt very much whether it will happen again now. If I'm a realist, I would love to help somebody, but I don't think that will happen.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
I think he'll be the Palace manager by November.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Straight back to the phone lines, and we a very warm Monday evening welcome to our rugby expert, Rob Wardman. Rob, good evening.
Good evening, folks.
I don't know if you just caught on that one, but the Saracens-Newcastle match took place in an 18,500 stadium in front of banks of empty seats. I know it's TV money and all that, but what are they gaining out of it, Rob?
That's a good curveball question for this time of night. And if I put my cynic's hat on, I was very sceptical of it when they announced it. I thought it was deplorable that Newcastle decided to go to America after starting to sell season tickets for the whole season, and they then told regular customers that they're going to play the game against the European champions at in Philadelphia. I thought the whole scheme very laudable, that the Premiership want to expand the competition, etc., etc. It's the way of the world at the moment. You know, football do it, cricket, but I just thought
it's wrong.
It wouldn't quite catch fire so quickly. They were hoping for a crowd of 12,000, judging by the reports. I'd be accused of being a sceptic on that one. I'm probably not the best person to ask.
I'm with you all the way on that one. Much more to the point and closer at home, we've got a victory. Is this the kickstart that we need?
Well, we very much hope so. And 27-20, it was a thoroughly good day out for one or two Newark supporters. One or two were feeling a bit around the gills on Sunday morning, but you have to celebrate victories, and we certainly did. 27-20, we were 20 points to 5 down at half time. One or two of us were going for long walks around the ground, you know, kicking any passing cat or whatever. Pretty poor performance first half, and somehow though, it all created the boys, and they held out. I think if we'd conceded one more try before half-time or just after half-time, then Oakham would have run out winners. But we stuck in there. We got a try back in the first half through James Stark, a very good try. Turned around 20 points to 5. We had the better of the conditions in the second half. It was a thoroughly horrible day, very showery, some very heavy showers. We turned around, got in the game, got a try back through Callum Slack, and that got us into the game. Our front row, David Shields, Ian Tomlinson, got us going forward, and a new lad, who I will remember his name in a minute as well, got us going forward. And we got a try back, another try back through Billy Charles. We levelled at 20-20, went into extra time, and Ian Tomlinson, the hooker, we got a forward rumble on from a line out, and Ian went over, and we held on. And in the end, we were deserved winners. There's no doubt about it. We were deserved winners. All credit to the team. Names to mention, well, obviously Callum Slack out wide did very well, James Stark did very well, the front row, as I was saying, did very well, and also we had a new lad at lock, a guy called Will Ellison, just out of the Colts, first team debut, did extremely well for us, all credit to him as well. And the guy I forgot to mention was a new prop from Worksop called Fran Appleton, and he did very well too. So hats off to the players, and we deserve the victory. It seemed highly unlikely at half time.
Excellent. And that takes us to this weekend, and I think it's Ilkeston, is it?
Ilkeston at home, first league game at home this season, sponsored by Newark Storage. Free entry, all welcome, bars open, 3 o'clock kickoff.
Get yourselves down there, because...
And if I can remember, mention, the under-14s and the under-13s both won yesterday. The under-13s beat Market Raising 10-4, and the under-14s completed a double at Oakham, 5-0. So there you go.
5-0, that was a cracker. Good stuff. Rob, a great weekend for Newark Rugby Club, and let's just hope that is the catalyst for the remainder of the season.
No, I think if we get the a regular team on the park, as we keep saying, we'll be very competitive at home. As you know, Mick, our away travels
not
can
great
be
travellers.
Somewhat unpredictable.
Yeah. Not great travellers, but we'll put that one right. We'll put that. Rob, I shall certainly see you Saturday, because I'm going for lunch.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a shirt and tie. I've got to go and buy one. I'm going for lunch with the president, no less, who's in here tomorrow night.
Is he, Alan? What
yes.
time is that? 7:30?
Oh, he's here for the hour.
Is he?
No, okay. He's here for the hour. So, lovely.
Thank you, mate.
Rob, thank you so much.
Take
as
care.
Ever, brilliant. Thank Bye-bye. You, mate. Bye-bye.
Is it a clip-on tie?
Right. Katrina, you've got the first short straw, shall we say. A memory of your time at the wonderful Grove Sport. You see, not once... As Alexis told me, it's Leisure Centre. She's agreed. It's a sports centre.
I'm not even going to bother trying.
It's the GLC, it's Grove Leisure Centre.
No, it's a Grove Sports Centre. Tony?
Sports Centre.
Good lad.
Am I in the minority?
Yes.
I've not been working there long. And when I first started, it was evenings and weekends. And it was an evening shift, I think I was on. At that time, I think we were a bit short on the ground for female attendance. So we used to get asked, you know, can you go and check the female wet side changing room, make sure it's all clear so someone can go in and clear it. And I think I remember correctly, it's my now husband who asked me to do this. So I'd been there countless of times before for junior activities, for school swimming as a kid. And he says, oh, can you go and check the female wet side for me, just make sure it's all clear. So I went in, went through the door, walked in, unbeknown to me, they changed the male and the female changing rooms around. There's a load of naked men in there, and I didn't know what to do, so I just composed myself, smiled, and walked straight through, something like off a Carry On film, and then darted down the corridor and back into the... but I did it again after that as well, I think.
Well, okay, yeah. The
first time was a mistake.
Yeah. So many times, yeah, because it was always the first, because they used to have the huge murals of the male and female on the doors. Yeah, so it was... That was what stuck in my head, and yeah.
And you still married him after he set you up to do that?
Yeah, I did, yeah, yeah. But it's amazing. I think these two can vouch for me. The amount of naked people that you see when you work at a sports centre is unreal, so nothing fazes me anymore.
I like Katrina.
And they hold conversations with you as well when they're naked, and you just...
Avert your eyes.
Yeah, you can't look up at the ceiling.
I think the people of Bolton and Nook are very comfortable being naked.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't worry us. Alexis, any naked stories?
No.
Oh.
No, unfortunately not.
Well, not that you can say on here.
Yeah, well, I've got far too many stories to mention, I think, from roller discos, from the old basket people in the changing rooms. Can you remember those? And the sirens on the pool side.
The time to get out
the pool. Which I remember on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays during the school holidays, it used to be fun swims in the morning, and me and my sister used to go between 10 and 12, and they used to chuck all the big old tractor inner tyres in the pool. We had no inflatables at that time. That was the fun that you had, and a hose pipe. That was it. And now, honestly, thinking about, well, being a lifeguard, we would never let the kids do what we used to do on those tractor tyres. It's not safe. But the lifeguards back then wasn't frowned upon. They just let you have real loads of fun. So I remember taking part, and then a few others of Friday when I was in the sixth form at school. Friday lunchtime, we'd play at sixth form. We'd play volleyball against the staff in the sports hall, which was a load of fun. And then working there, going in the pool a few times, being told to go and clean outside to change outside squash courts, and Martin actually meant the squash courts, and I went and cleaned outside the squash courts. I picked up the litter, and he said, "I've just had a complaint from somebody who's played squash. Those courts aren't very clean." I went, "Yeah, you told me to clean outside squash courts." I meant, like, outside the door. "No, the outside squash courts, as in the ones that are over the road." Oh, right.
She never has done what she's been told.
She was young then.
She was young.
No. Yeah.
She still is.
He didn't give me the full training. That was the problem.
Yes, it's all down to Martin.
It's all down to Martin. Oh, dear. So, too many stories to mention. And we're only, like, three out of probably 333 people that have ever worked there. And I must admit, in the last couple of weeks, I drove past it myself and I thought, we really need to do something for when it's, like, fully demolished, and I don't know, when they put the dynamite in or whatever, and it goes.
Getting political ever so slightly, why has it not been demolished beforehand?
Because of it's the county council's building, and they had to do all the condition survey of the building, and that's why the work had just started recently. So it was down to the county council starting that. Literally, we moved out the 22nd of April last year.
Well, you pulled the plug, literally pulled the plug, locked the door.
We did, yeah. Obviously,
and cried.
Yeah, we had to do everything. Yeah. We emptied the pools, we made sure the building was safe, and we handed the key and disconnected all the meters and the utilities, and we handed the keys back.
It's amazing how many times it was said to me on Friday night, "How is that burning with a pool full of water?" No!
So,
I remember that night because I went down for Radio Newark and took the photos of you locking the door and walking away, and I think we'd all got sort of tears in our eyes that was it.
Yeah, it was pretty sad, but because we'd got this massive new building to take over in 2 days, our minds were like, close the doors, the focus is on the new site. So we didn't really have time to reflect on all these stories and this nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that it's happened under these circumstances.
Martin, let's have a story from you. We've had the naked men. We're not going to have the naked women, are we?
I've got loads of naked stories.
Right.
they weren't at work, though.
Yeah, nothing to do with the sports centre.
Alexis, let's not go over my past. No, but if it's after nine's show, we could really go...
She's just crucified him, hasn't she?
Yeah. She should come back after 9 o'clock and then we can get to the real nitty-gritty. No, you had a debate earlier about sports and leisure centre, but the centre itself had so many functions, from weddings to wrestling... to dog shows and various things, and we tried to utilise it for everything, but very, very quickly when I started, and if anybody can remember Ken Bailey, who's still about there, he was the chap that recruited me, walking in saying, "Got any jobs going?" "Yes." "Here's a whistle. Here's a t-shirt that's 3 times too small. Can you work tonight?" That was the sort of approach that happened back then. But it was about 2.5 weeks into the job, and they had this function on in the activity hall, and they said, "Can you work on Saturday?" you know, we'll have someone else with you. She will start showing you what to do and all the rest of it. And I had no idea. I was 17. I remember being in the reception area. It was about 9:30 time. And somebody came around the corner and said, there's some trouble in the activity hall. At 17, you really don't know what to do. So you just stand there for a bit. So I thought, okay. I saw a couple of the managers. Used to have two managers on a function night. Fly past me. And if you think of one of those, you know, cowboys and Indians or westerns that you watch on TV where they're throwing people over the bar, I wandered down to the activity hall. And then suddenly, both doors flew open. A couple of managers come out. One's got one customer in a neck hole. The other one, the catering manager's up against the wall. And he leans and he just calmly turns to me and says, Martin, can you go find the other dry side attendant? So I'm thinking, I just watched for a bit. And okay, I'll be back in a minute. And I wandered off, come back and said, there's an incident in the activity hall. And then a few minutes later, you've got two managers. One, his name was Alex Massad, who had basically one chap under each arm, taking him through the reception area, and another manager taking him out. And it was almost like then just, you know, rub the hands together, job done. Martin, have you cleaned that sports hall? No, I'll do it next. And that's the sort of arena.
The way it was, and there was health and safety and things like that never come into it in those days. So you hit the nail on the head with the swimming pool, didn't you? I mean, in your position now, you would have a nightmare if you saw anything like that going off.
Well, yeah, just because of the environment that we're in now, isn't it? And the risk and the claims that we see quite regularly, actually. So we try and we're risk averse. We try and remove as many hazards as possible, as you'd expect. But I mean, even when I started at 17, there was a 36-hour training course to be a lifeguard every Thursday night, 8 till 10, and you went and did your training. And then you got the certificate at the end, and then you got the job out of it, which was great. And there was, if I remember, there was nowhere else in the area that you could get a part-time job that would pay that rate. It's always been very well paid for a part-time job. To go and sit on a poolside and watch people swimming and looking out for them. So, and I must admit, our workforce is all pretty young. Mm. I think, Martin, you skew the average age a little bit, don't you?
It's quite good for you tonight.
But yeah, we have a young workforce because they're all quite sporty and passionate, which is great. And they earn quite a decent amount of money. Hourly rate, we pay them well.
Father used to go to, bless him, he used to love going to the boxing.
Hmm.
Not boxing, the wrestling.
Oh, the wrestling.
Always finished at 10 o'clock. You know, whatever was happening, it finished on time. Big Daddy, Giant A Stacks, Mick McManus. They all came to the Grove Sports Centre, didn't they? And it was, there wasn't a seat in the house. It was packed. It was entertainment. It was, argue all day if it's sports or not, but entertainment. It was absolutely brilliant. And I went to the first ever, because my first year at the Grove was the first year of the Grove Comprehensive School, and we spent that year down on Main Street in the Church Hall while they finished the building. But to mark the opening, the Radio 1 Roadshow came to the Grove Sports Centre. That's before all your times. The Radio 1 Roadshow came to the Grove Sports Centre.
Not before my time.
You can remember it.
Oh, I can remember Radio 1.
Dave Lee Travers.
Yeah, exactly.
Not supposed to mention him anymore, but in those days, he was there. You can't take the fact that that's who it was, Dave Lee Travers. And it was the Radio 1 Roadshow came to the Grove Sports Centre.
It was very hands-on, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you, Tony. And on that note, we've heard from Lowfields and we've heard from Catham Road. So now it's time to hear from the Magnus, and that means it's Paul Halfpenny with his normal Monday night slot all about the Newark Hockey Club. And Paul, your season, or the ladies' season, gets underway this coming weekend. So the last of the friendlies being played, everybody knows where they are and everybody rearing to go.
Good evening, mate. Yes, I hope that's the case. Yeah, straight into it for the ladies this week, all four teams. And believe it or not, every single team away from home. How often does that happen?
Brilliant. Damn. You'd have thought it'd at least be 2-2, wouldn't you? But they're all away. Are they ready, do you think, Mr. Head Coach?
Well, I spoke briefly with Ammo, and he was delighted with the first team performance on Saturday. I think the second team are going to find it quite tough. But then again, they've found it tough for the last, three, four seasons, but always managed to survive, so let's hope they can do that. Third 11, well, can't really take anything out of the third 11 game on Saturday, because it was against our fourth 11, so it should have been a fairly easy game, which it was. So we'll just have to see how they perform on Saturday against Bridgeford to see where they are. And the fourth team, well, they've got super coach with them, haven't they, fourth team? So
Sally. And they're in there, and they better be ready to go, else they're in trouble.
Yeah.
West Ham, I spoke to you, was still sort of waiting on a couple of, shall we say, marquee signings for the ladies. Are we still in that position, or have you got anything to tell us?
Well, as we know that Sarah's back, Sarah Paskey's back now, played very well Saturday again. But I can give you a bit of a scoop today that I can tell you that Becky Warner is back in the fold. I received a text from her last night, and she is coming back to play, which is great news.
It's absolutely fantastic news, and that again, I mean, Becky, quality player, and that is going to add even more quality to that side. Many people are talking about being right up there at the top. They got promotion last year, and the vibes I'm getting is they can be challenging again this year.
Well, I think with Becky coming in, with Sarah coming in, the youngsters who I introduced into the side, what, three seasons ago now, is it? And they're a lot older. They're 3 years older, 3 years stronger. They look like senior players now, and we've got this absolute superstar of a girl. She's only 14 years old, Hannah Lawton, who's wow, she's amazing, absolutely amazing. So, yes, it's looking really, really good. So last year's team plus extras, things are looking good for the ones, in my opinion. I think Ammo's sort of fallen on his feet, as it were, here. I think he's come into a team that could give him a lot of joy.
The men, Paul, I think that's, we agreed last week, probably consolidation season. Lost some of the big names, which gives a chance for others. Anything to tell us about that one, or is it still, are you still sort of moulding them?
Well, it's difficult to mould a team that's not yet been there. We travelled to Atherston on Saturday. Of course, Atherston were in the league that we came out of last season. We lost narrowly 1-0 at their place last season and beat them, I think it was 2-1 at our place. But of course, like you say, we got four players missing plus the ones that weren't available last week. And wow, have they improved. They've got a National League player in that's doing coaching them on the pitch like a player coach. They've got a manager at the side, but they look so up for it, and they played some of the best hockey I've ever seen, I think, at that level. That they scored after, it was within a minute they scored. We never got anywhere near the ball. It was superb, absolutely superb. If they don't walk that league, I'll be amazed. But it wasn't like the Lindum game. We didn't just sort of back into our own D. We came at them. And I was very, very pleased with some of the performances that I saw. Young Luke and James Beedham. James Beedham, I thought, had a very, very good game, and hopefully he'll be one of the youngsters that comes into the side permanently this season. So it's not all bad, and you know, the scoreline, we can't really take an awful lot from that scoreline. We'll start worrying when the season starts and we're playing league fixtures, but I'm hoping that we can change the fortunes this week against Mansfield.
I'm sure you'll turn it around, Paul, and it will not be a problem. Paul, thanks for joining us. We're a bit rushed tonight. We've had an awful lot on. I don't know if you'd heard of the devastating fire to the old Grove Sports Centre. We've been talking about that one tonight. So we're all a little bit rushed, but we do thank you for taking time out and to join us.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Halfpenny there, Newark Hockey Club. And Becky Warner coming back in the fold. That's a big plus, along with Paskey. Yes. I think those ladies back on form. Oh, back on form. They won the championship last year, so but it's a big jump. Well, we're nearly out of time. It's been a very busy night. We thank you for your good... Katrina's got something to say.
Can I just do a mention to the thing that was always the highlight of my visit as a child, and that's the cafe that was upstairs. They used to sell the blackjack sweets, the fruit salad sweets. The Grove used to have the best stocked vendor in the world of... Wham bars and Frosties, and I'm sure when I used to get my money stuck, and they used to tell the receptionist, I bet she used to roll her eyes like I do now. And
yeah, you did. I did put some money in it. Honestly, I put some money in it.
And the plate of chips after you've been swimming, where's the health in that?
No, it was... I'm sort of a railway fan, so I'm quite used to sort of think things that live, that are not human, if you like. And I do think that sports centre lived. It's been such a part of everybody's life. It wasn't just a building.
It could tell so many stories because, like we said earlier, loads of people went through the doors. We were talking, like Katrina said, about the cafe. There was also the bar, which brought a lot of people in who weren't actually playing sport. They just
that's
came
where
in
you
were. I remember working behind the bar every night. It was open Monday to Friday, wasn't it? And from 7 till 11, and people used to come in for a pint after squash or going in the gym, and then people used to meet there for a pint as well. It wasn't all just people playing sport. So that was sad to see that go, but it was things that move on. As we've The centre moved on. We've moved on to the new site now. And, yeah, I think we could write a book with all these stories, just our stories, let alone the 300-odd people, that other stories that could be written.
I'm sure that there's definitely a book to it. Katrina, Alexis, Martin, thank you for coming in. Next time under better circumstances, but it was a sad night for Newark Sporting. It was a sad night for Newark that... The place where we all grew up and learnt our sport is no longer with us, and we know it's going, but it's gone for the wrong reasons. I do thank all of you that joined us on Friday night. I got no enjoyment whatsoever about what was doing on Friday night, but I do thank everybody for joining us and giving your comments, your reminiscing on what was the biggest sports story this radio station's ever had. Tomorrow night, Newark Rugby Club president Alan Swain is with us, Amber Owens is with us, and with a little bit of luck, England's latest star, Jess Weaver!